What's up, buds? Welcome to the Creative People Podcast. My name is Ryan Leacock. Today, I'm talking with photographer Hillary Gauld Camilleri of One for the Wall. That is a great name for a photography studio. I really, really enjoyed connecting with Hillary. She has this great mixture of head and heart that I really just clicked with. Hillary has this hashtag that she uses on social and around her studio. It's embrace your face. And there's something not just refreshing, but also challenging about that, you know? It's not always easy to embrace our face, like physically, but also being self-aware enough to look at our own faces and who we are inside, and then be confident enough to not only embrace those things, but then make stuff in them and then put it out in the world. I think that's what being a creative person is all about. Before we get to that, yesterday was Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with us. I'm no fan of puns, but I do love Star Wars, so I tolerate it. Today is Cinco de Mayo, as well as my wife and I's 13th wedding anniversary. 13 years, 4 kids, and 1 pandemic of marital bliss. Happy anniversary, Veronica. I love you. Let's watch Star Wars and eat Mexican food, all right? Okay, enough bumper talk. Let's get into it with Hillary. How about we start off with you... Okay. Let's, if you can introduce yourself and kind of tell us kind of just of what you do, and we'll get into it.
My name is Hillary Gauld Camilleri, and I am a full-time corporate and family photographer based here in Kitchener-Waterloo. I opened my business in 2008, so later this year I'll be celebrating my 12-year anniversary. I have a studio in downtown Kitchener that I've operated out of for almost, it'll be 7 years at the end of this year. And I spend my days photographing lots of local business people, entrepreneurs, artists, and lots of families as well.
That's incredible. I saw something on your Instagram that really stood out to me. You said, I capture the essence of big thinkers and dream chasers. And I was like, whoa, that's a statement. Tell me about that.
I am so glad that that resonated with you.
Yeah.
That statement is 11 years in the making. And that is something that I've been able to kind of finally put into words exactly what I do and exactly the type of person I'm after that I really am drawn to and connect to. That statement was born out of a weekend of last month, actually the weekend before COVID kind of overtook our world. I did a 2-day exercise in Toronto called Brand Camp with Lab Creative. And it was like a 2-day deep dive into your brand. And I think for me, I was somebody who thought, you know, I did have my mind tied around branding being colors and fonts and logos and that kind of thing. So I was like, well, I don't really need to change the branding. I just did it a couple years ago, that kind of thing. But I think when you hear the term brand, and when I really started thinking about it, knowing that, okay, yes, brand really is personality, and it's the voice you put behind the logo, the font, the colors, et cetera. And so I think that I've spent 11 years really pushing my clients into the spotlight and limelight because that's where they belong. And that's my job, is to put them in that light.
Yeah.
But I think after this amount of time, I've really come to learn a lot about myself and kind of what drives me every day and the people that I photograph and the ones I'd like to photograph down the road. And so in this brand camp, we kind of uncovered the different things I feel during photo shoots and kind of my, I guess, my own internal mission statement. Mm-hmm. And so together we came up with that one line that really to me captures kind of the people that I'm looking for, the people that I'm drawn to, and the people that really I've been photographing now for quite a long time. They just encompass those things. Yeah. And so that's kind of where that was born out of. So that's actually new. Mm. And it feels really good to kind of have my thoughts and feelings in one home now.
Yeah. And it's a very strong statement, and it's right there at the top. Another thing that stood out to me there was in the hashtag embrace your face. I was like, well, that's great. Sometimes all of us have trouble embracing our face.
Yes, very true. Very true. So again, that's something that I made up myself. And that was in response to a lot of the negative self-talk that was happening in my studio. So about, because it was about 6 years ago that I started into quite heavily into portraits and headshots in studio. And I just really saw this recurrent theme amongst people that would come in and we'd start photographing, and just the negative narratives they have around their faces. And me being just a deep feeler, I would take that on. And so every time someone would say something about their face that was not complimentary or their body, I actually would internalize that stuff. Mm. And my brain would compute it and spit it back out and say they're not happy with the photo or they're not happy with me. And I had to, there was a time actually that I thought, I don't know if emotionally I can carry this load. I'm internalizing it too much, how, you know, the self-esteem issues and people's challenges around, you know, how they look and feel about themselves.
Yeah.
And so I really sat and thought about it, and I'm like, okay, I have to separate myself from my work from how they feel about themselves. So that was number one, is making that distinct. Because as soon as people would say, oh, it's not you, it's not the photo, it's just me in that photo. So once I made, that was step one in me making that separation. Mm-hmm. The second step was, how can I make this environment better for people and for people to understand that my studio and my energy is a very safe place. Mm-hmm. And so it's a safe place. Obviously people felt safe enough to be able to say, I don't like this about my face, or, you know, those kind of things. But I wanted people to really feel that it was a space that they can come in and literally embrace their face. I think I just said it to somebody one day, like, embrace your face. And then it stuck in my head. I was like, that's literally just what it is. And so in my studio, I actually have a wall that says embrace your face, and people, I leave a jar of markers there, and people have to write one thing they love about their face before they leave.
Oh, wow.
And there's a saying on the mirror, and I kind of consulted with the complaints department, and I would say things probably quieted by about 90% in the studio. I think it was a few months in, I realized, people aren't really saying a whole lot anymore about their faces, like the odd thing. But I just really felt when they came out of the change room, there just was this kind of, it just felt like a release from that. Because when they walk in my studio from the front door to this change room into my shooting area, it's just this big, giant hug of embrace your face and just kind of own it. And I'm okay with that. So yeah, that's actually how that was born. That whole embrace your face. And I do have some plans for that little term. I think that there's some things I can do with it, but I decided to again incorporate that saying into my branding earlier this year, because that's really what I'm about. Mm-hmm. You know, cause it's not just the photo taking process. I think I've really learned over the last 11 years, there's a lot of psychology and feelings behind getting your photo taken. And so after this amount of time, I'm really learning how to incorporate what I've learned and, you know, people's experiences and put that into my branding.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the scope between those two statements. One of them is very much, you know, dreams and what we're building. And the other one is also very human, that even though you might be like a dream chaser and you might be, all of us have these things that like, I don't like this about myself. And so kind of embracing both ends of that, I think that's just fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
So how did we get here with you? Tell me a little bit about your journey. You've been doing this for 12 years. You have your studio. How did this all start?
It started quite simply, really. I had left a corporate job that I had had for, you know, almost a decade. I had two young daughters at home, and I felt that, you know, I wanted to be home with them more instead of kind of that corporate rat race, dropping them off at daycare in the morning, racing all day around and picking them up for dinner kind of thing. And so I was initially going to stay at home full time, but, you know, realistically, that is not, it wasn't going to fit for me being a stay-at-home mom. It's just not for everyone. And I think, you know, perhaps if I'd given it a bit more of a chance, I might've been able to settle into it more, but I think I just recognized my personality that's always had something on the go and always been really connected to people. I needed to do something. And so I think it's just was really truly born out of two things for me. I just always loved taking photos. Mm-hmm. And I was never it was never in a professional setting. It was just me documentarian. So when I was growing up and we were at family functions or through high school and university and we were places, I always had my camera and a roll of film. Yeah. I just did. And, you know, nothing was well composed or well lit. It just was documenting what was going around mm-hmm. to really preserve that time in our lives. And I think that in combination with my obsession with the passage of time was just a really, for me, the two reasons. So I think that love freezing moments in time, love people, and always having that piece of history. So I was that little girl that would sit at a young age and look through photo albums and be very aware that that happened in the past and oh my goodness, look how small they were then. And so I was always very aware of that time passage and that photos really were a way to look back and reflect and to kind of trigger memories and that kind of thing. So for me, it wasn't, I didn't start into it thinking, oh, think of the art I can create and think of how creative I can be. It just was born simply out of, you know, just my desire to connect people through photos and time, really. Mm.
I like that. But when was it like that moment where you're like, okay, I think this is what I want to go for now?
I think it was pretty quickly. I picked up the camera and just started photographing families in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I think it's the fact that I just felt a deep connection with people really quickly.
Yeah.
And people were booking me.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it satisfied so many different needs in me. It was mm-hmm. the connection to people and freezing those awesome smiles and memories and those really true bonds through photos. And at the same time, I was bringing money in. And at the same time, I was running my own business and I was doing my marketing and I was being challenged to think of ways to market my business in this community and to grow it and that kind of thing. So I think that, you know, I'm not so sure it was any one particular moment that I said, oh, this is going to fly. I think that it just was a combination of everything kind of coming together and all of a sudden people were booking me. And then I fell into it and never really thought too long and hard about it since. And I think it's just my personality. I kind of set out with things, not thinking, oh, is this going to work or whatever. It's just like, I dive in and I'm like, of course this is going to work. Cause I'm just going to make it work.
Yeah.
And I think too, it fit with our family in terms of being a little flexible for, you know, both myself and my spouse and his job and for the girls and that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I just felt it was a really nice fit to be able to be at home and then go do some work and then come home and really have something for myself.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. With kids at all, it's so tough to keep that balance and having to be somewhere like for that much of your day, it does take a lot out of you. So it's, especially if you want to do more out of like this, you know? So where the one for the wall, tell me about that phrase a little bit.
The name. I think when I really look back, actually, when I think about my business name and I think about all the taglines I've come up with and project names, I just really like quirky snippets of thoughts, things that, you know, fit together well, that are short and catchy and really make a strong statement. And I think, you know, I could have gone with my name for my family business early on, but I think it just, again, was born out of regular conversation. So people were booking me and saying those exact words. They were saying, I'm calling to book family photos, but I just need one for the wall.
Oh,
I just need one for the wall. So it truly was born out of just conversational pieces and messages saying, I'm looking for one for the wall. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, and of course I searched it and there was no other one for the wall in the world other than a taxidermy business somewhere in the state. and I just thought, you know, it's quirky, which kind of, you know, was a reflection a bit of my own personality and just kind of the way my brain thinks and, you know, catchy too. I just thought, you know, it's something that people would remember and it just, and also I guess the business marketing side of my brain thought it set some expectations for clients too. Yeah. That when we go out to shoot, we're not looking for 50 for yep. the wall. We're looking for that one. Mm-hmm. And so then if you deliver more than one picture, that's great. One for the wall, then you've really exceeded expectations. And it's funny because that did become a part of it. So I would deliver galleries and people would say, you didn't give me one for the wall. You gave me 20 for the wall or 30. How am I going to choose? And I think too, that it really helped me establish with clients as well that, you know, when you do a photo shoot, it isn't quantity per se of photos. And even when I've hired people and done my own family photos, you do typically tend to, you know, focus in on one or two or three photos that the whole shoot was worth it. And what you paid was worth it for that one or two that you just feel that you can never recreate again. And so I think people see that in their homes, right? When they choose that one photo or that two or three photos that just kind of represent how they feel and represent that time in their life. So I think that, yeah, that was really, there was a few things behind that, but it certainly was a thought out decision when I named my business One for the Wall. And I have zero regrets. I still love the name, and people sometimes don't even call me by my name. They just call me One for the Wall. I often get, you know, what is your name? Because sometimes they've just put those two together that I'm just One for the Wall, which is great. I think it's fun. And I've had a lot of fun with the name over the years for sure.
You're like in the grocery store and they're like, One for the Wall. And you're like, yeah.
Or it's the other, I've had the other thing happen too, where people will say, what's your email address? And then I say One for the Wall and they're like, you're One for the Wall? I'm like, yeah, that's me. So I've had that in a couple, actually more than one instance in the city over the years. So when people follow me on my social media, it's One for the Wall. They get to know that's who you are. And then you come out from behind that and they're like, oh, you're One for the Wall. So
yeah. That's great. What I love about that is, and what I love about some aspects of creativity is that I feel like we're chasing kind of magic and chasing a moment. Like even in this conversation here, what mm-hmm. we're trying to do is capture a little something in our hour long conversation or whatever. And that's what you're trying to do. Tell me about chasing that kind of moment.
I think that moments just happen naturally every day.
Yeah.
In conversation, in, you know, interactions with people. And so I think what I've really learned to do is just settle into moments mm-hmm. because they come. They always do. And so I think it's just about being aware behind the camera. It's about listening, really listening to people talking and feeling, connecting your gut to the situation. So yeah, I think in the past when I was a photographer that was just starting out, I think I was more maybe in that mindset of chasing and trying to plan moments. Mm. So, you know, it was like I was kind of into like, let's stylize it, or I'm going to plan. I used to kind of like draw things out and map things out. And for me personally, everyone has their own way they get to their own place. For me personally, that led to a lot of disappointment because I would have these visions in my head and then it just wouldn't transpire into what I had initially envisioned.
Yeah.
So I just really learned after a while to kind of put the cheat sheets aside and just go into situations and let them unfold as they may, mm-hmm. because I can't plan dynamics between people. I can't plan moods or changing circumstances with light or situations, especially when I'm in commercial type settings and we think we're shooting one space and we've got to go somewhere else. And I think you just have to surrender yourself to that experience.
Yeah.
And really just trust the situation that you're in, that something's going to come. And I think that's, for me, the art in it is recognizing when that moment happens. And it doesn't have to be anything grandiose. It's literally a moment to me is a look.
Yeah.
A look that gives you a feel. And that's, it's as simple as that for me.
Yeah. And you're just ready for it. Yes. I totally identify with that. And I think chasing probably was more of an aggressive term than I meant. I mostly meant we're looking for when that spark happens, right?
Yes.
And I found a very similar thing with the podcast is like, sometimes if someone sends me back too much info, I get like lost in the weeds on it. I'm like, and then I feel like I leave those conversations and it's kind of flat. So I've been having a whole thing of trying to find, well, where's the sweet spot where I'm prepared and I'm ready? Because if I just go in with nothing, I won't be prepared for that. But if I know too much, it takes the magic away, you know?
Absolutely. Because then you're looking for what was in your plan and not what just is naturally unfolding before you.
Do you pre-interview people or like what's your process for kind of getting under the skin a little bit?
So with families, which has now over the years become a smaller part of my business because I really have moved a lot more into the commercial world in the last few years. But with families, there is no interviewing. There's no real, I don't meet people before. Obviously I have a very, very high repeat clientele. So I know these people from years over. I actually, when people book me, I don't really need or desire to know anything about them, to be honest with you. I show up and I don't research my clients and click on their photos on social media and say, who are these people? Mm-hmm. I actually am the opposite. I like the element of surprise. And that I like to know almost, you know, new clients. I don't need to know anything because I just feel very quickly I pick up on people's dynamics, their connection between, you know, the group of them. And that to me is a big part of the fun and challenge of my job. So it just, I don't know. I love that part. It's just, you go and you don't know what you're walking into. Yeah. And because I really do like a challenge. I like problem solving. I like trying to work things out with people, whether, you know, it be someone at the photo shoot doesn't love getting their photo taken or someone doesn't want to be sat close to. It just forces me to think a little more creatively and how I'm going to work around things. Mm-hmm. And so I actually quite enjoy the challenge of not really knowing much about my people. And the people that I do know that come to me every year, things shift in a year. Kids start to grow up. One year they could be running around like crazy and the next year they're sitting and looking you wide-eyed. Or one year the brother and sister or two sisters love each other and the next year they don't want to sit, you know, sit close to each other. So I enjoy that part. Now on the other side, it's a bit more of a balance. So if someone is coming to me for personal branding photos, I do like to talk to them beforehand. So I like them to send me a few inspiration photos, a few words that they want to get across to their audience and how they want their audience to feel when they see their photos. So I do find it's important to do more prep on that site. Again, I'm not over prep, but I certainly want to do the work so that when they get the photos, they think, yep, that's exactly what I wanted people to feel, or that was the point, or those were the props I want used. So there is a little bit more for sure that goes into that process. And same with commercial shoots. So when I'm shooting for companies and that kind of thing, there's clearly a lot more planning that goes into it in terms of lighting, space, that kind of thing. However, that being said, with all the planning, the same kind of rules apply in those situations. So we can plan out props, we can plan out clothes, we can plan out all these things, but there are times when those things do go sideways or someone's in the situation and they're not, you know, translating what you thought might come across. So it could be the use of a prop that doesn't look as great or clothing that isn't, you know, transferring to camera as well, those kind of things. So again, plan the process to some extent, but let it unfold. So sometimes when we go in and we're like, this is what we're going to do, sometimes we end up somewhere totally different and we love it even more. So it's, you know, not being too tied to it, but at the same time, having enough prep that you're not going in and truly just being simply unprepared, which is not responsible.
Yeah. I love all that. Now tell me about words. Cause I feel like that's something that's coming up quite a bit with you. Like we talked about three things now that you've kind of written, and I've noticed on some of your posts, a lot of your posts, like there's a lot you put your heart and soul into your descriptions and what you're talking about. Tell me about that. Do you have a background as a writer or what's your deal with words?
It's what's my deal? That is such Such a great question. So I did originally, right from when I was 16, I thought I was going to be a broadcast journalist.
Yeah.
So I really thought I would be a Barbara Walters of some sort.
Yeah.
So yes, I've always had a draw to writing for sure. And I'm just someone that has a lot of thoughts. I'm a thinker. It's just that simple. So it's just been the last little while, I think, that I've really felt comfortable enough to step into the space of letting my voice out just a little bit more. So obviously when I'm with people at photo shoots and that kind of thing, there's a lot of discussion and talking going on. There's lots of times that, you know, the shoot's side railed for 20 or 30 minutes because we start talking about something personal, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But I just felt that, you know, at my age and stage of my career, that I feel comfortable in sharing a lot more of those thoughts and things that go into my thought process when I'm behind the camera that people might not be thinking.
Yeah.
And I want people to see that I'm thinking. I'm thinking a lot. Photography is something that, you know, I do feel there's this, some people believe that, oh, you know, everyone takes photos now and there's no value in it and it's been devalued and all of that kind of thing. But I just don't feel that. I feel that, you know, access to cameras and people taking photos, we've never seen people take so many photos in our entire life. Mm-hmm. I think most of us can attest to the fact that, you know, we have one album of our entire childhood in our homes. I think I have one of my first, like, you know, 2 years of my life kind of thing. People are filling, you know, 3 and 4 albums a month of their children.
Yeah.
And so I actually feel there's an increased value on the photographic medium. And I just think it's really important for people to see that there is voice and thought that goes into the process when I work with them. That it's just not simply clicking the camera. Yeah. So I think, again, it's just those things after all of, you know, all of these years, my draw to journalism obviously was very much in telling verbal stories. And I've always had an innate curiosity for people and their stories. And so I think that that is starting to really come full circle for me.
Yeah.
So it's not just about taking the photos. It's about what story is behind someone's face, you know, what goes into making them who they are. And so, yeah, I'm starting to incorporate more writing. Writing is something that I really enjoy doing. Yeah, I just think it's time to get some of my thoughts out and share some of that and maybe just deepen the experience for people a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's great. It kind of makes it an experience too. The thing with photos is, like, it's kind of sometimes the amount of them kind of shows how hard it is to get a good photo, you know? We're all taking photos all day. And then when we see someone, a photo taken by someone who knows what they're doing, you're like, well, how come theirs is different than mine?
Yes.
And I think it might kind of circle back to give it kind of more value because we realize, oh, there's some craft here. There's some thought here. So I think that's great.
Yeah. I would actually agree. I agree with you on that 100%. I think, you know, as much as people say, oh, there's so many photographers and so many, would, I think people are discerning, a lot of people. And I think they can see when something is quality and when something isn't as high quality. Mm-hmm. And like, even for me, I recognize when a lot of thought and high technical skill has gone into something. Like, you can see it.
Yeah. Tell me about your relationship with creativity and kind of what inspires you and what kind of gets you going. And we've kind of talked about some of them, but
yeah,
what are they for you?
So I think that's a really good question. And when you sent kind of just a loose outline of some things you might be asking me, that is something I went to sleep thinking about and woke up thinking about this morning, is my relationship to creativity. And it's funny because my thoughts immediately went to me in kindergarten drawing and not being good at drawing and art and not being good at music. And really growing up thinking creativity meant you needed to be an artist, like really good at drawing or really good at music or painting. And so I really probably up until the last few years would never have labeled myself creative, would never have labeled myself that creativity was something that was innate in me. And so when people would talk about being a creative, I would take myself out of that category. It's like, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do this. And again, my photos are simple. I'm not a, like I'm technical to some extent, right? Like in terms of, you know, lighting and that kind of thing, but I'm not super fancy in my setups and that kind of thing. But what I've come to learn, because my relationship with creativity is a little complicated, because I've just never saw myself as a creative person, yet I'm a photographer and I create photos every day. But what I think I've learned to do is, what I've learned is shifting my definition of what creative is. And so I appreciate creativity so much. I know when someone is just, there's lots of people out there I admire so much for their creativity. And when you see some things that people produce, like it just really is the result of what's going on in their head. And there's some spectacular things in this world that people create.
Yeah.
And, you know, years ago, those things and people made me envious. And those things made me feel terrible because I was like, I'm not creative. I don't create those masterpieces like that. But I've just, I guess over time, again, like I said, just shifted what my definition of creativity was for me. And so now I look at myself and I feel comfortable with my relationship with creativity, understanding that creativity comes in all different forms. And so perhaps my strength in creativity is, it's different from other people, but it's still creative. And so I do think of myself as a creative person. I come up with creative sayings and creative projects, and I feel like I create my own approach to people. And I think that now I'm okay to embrace the fact that, all right, you may not have been, you know, in kindergarten, the best painter, or, you know, you were not good in music or singing or all those kind of things that I labeled creative, but in my own life and in my own way, I am a creative person.
Oh, for sure. That's, I want to take what you just said and like, let people hear it, because I've come up against this a lot of times since starting the podcast, of people saying, oh, I'm not a creative person, or, and I'm like, but you are. We, most of us are. I mean, even accountants, I don't know. I don't think you can be creative with your accounting, but you can be a creative person. So what I'm trying to do with this podcast is kind of have the broadest interpretation of that. It's like, if you're working on something that's, you're passionate about, that requires problem solving, and you're after that spark, you're creative. You know, I've had my own version of that whole thing. I was just talking to some illustrators. I have the same like envy, because I'm like, yes. I can't draw like you. You are a true creative. I don't say that, but yeah, that's kind of how I feel in my mind. But it's taken me kind of, no, I have this and I have this, and I am a creative person. I wish that I could kind of take what you just said and kind of like play it for people when I have these conversations, because I'm like, you nailed it. So speaking of that creativity, and if you were to imagine this creativity that you're now more comfortable with in your head and to give it a physical form, what would that look like?
So I think that I find, you know, getting back to this whole inspiration thing, because that is something that, you know, that is a common question people ask creatives. What's your inspiration? What's your inspiration? Because for some people, it can be art, like drawn art. Some people it's books. Some people it's, you know, colors, whatever it may be. Inspiration for me is truly in people's stories, people's lives. And as I guess corny as this may sound, it's their soul, their human spirit. I have a deep connection to humanity and the human spirit. And that is where, for me, I find creativity and inspiration lies. And so when I am with somebody, I feel like I don't need any other creativity in than the person sitting in front of me. It's there. Their face to me is my reason to be creative. And the things that they feel inside about themselves and their life and their dreams are what drive my creativity. So I think that, you know, that really truly is for me. You know, I think lighting, I love creative lighting. I love playing with light and all of that kind of thing. And so that, you know, from the technical side, that always plays a part to kind of marry the lighting mood and feel with the person, try to match those two things up to kind of get across to the audience, you know, kind of what's going on inside them, where this kind of like a light and airy thing, or is it kind of moodier and more shadowy? So, you know, I kind of take those elements and put them together with the things I'm feeling off the person that are in front of me. But, you know, I used to have this saying in my studio too, my inspiration is you. And that is all I really need. I don't need much more than that. I just need the person. And then that's all. That's all I need to feel and to create something.
I love that. Tell me about that moment though, when you know, oh, that's a moment, or when you feel it. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I always have said that my heart, my head, and my gut all have a line that run and they connect to each other.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes when I'm clicking the shutter, it's not that, and I click it a lot, and that's just me. Obviously, it depends on the situation. There's some situations that you can't be clicking a lot, and you have to be much more intentional about listening and anticipating the moment that's coming, because you can't be clicking like crazy. But there is a moment when I'm clicking and I'm photographing someone that if I took 10 frames, all it is in somewhat hard to explain and get across, but there is a moment within me that my head, my heart, and my stomach all align. And I know that whether it was a thought that went through someone's head or just the shift of their eye, that something just connected in that moment.
Yeah.
And it applies to the commercial world where, you know, if we're after some branding where people are laughing or they're enjoying a product, I kind of know in my gut when it connected for them, just as I do when I'm with someone one-on-one. And just as I do when I'm with a family, I can line 10 frames up. And just, again, I think that's a part of the creative process too, that I can line the 10 frames up and say, the moment of connection happened right here. Mm-hmm. And it's only because I trust my own head, heart, and gut to know when that moment happened, because I think that's an art in itself to understand when that moment happened, because sometimes you can pick the wrong photo and it's like, the moment did not happen here. I feel it happened here. And I think that's a strength, is to recognize when the moment happened, because you could have 10 frames and release one. And sometimes I've looked and I thought, nah, I think the moment happened perhaps a little bit before this or a little bit after this. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's not a formula per se, in the sense I can say, this is when I know the moment happened. It's very much for me an intuitive thing that I know when that moment of connection happened. And sometimes I know when it hasn't happened. And so then I kind of go about it a different way, or maybe it's a switch up in light or something like that, in order for me to say, okay, here we go. I'm feeling it now. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when I first meet people off the bat, so I'm talking about right now, say a portrait session where I'm one-on-one with person, which I think is like one of the most intimate photo shoots I do, is just kind of sitting in front of someone with the camera, and I don't have any fancy backdrop and no fancy lights. It's just me and you, and we're going to create, you know, we're going to make a piece of art out of your face. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that you just have to sit and you have to listen and you have to just, you know, watch how people respond. But I often look at people when I first meet them and I already can see what I want the end result to be in some ways. So it's like, I think I see who you are.
Yeah.
There is a small part of me that works through the session to create all the things we need to, but there's always that one photo out of every session that I kind of create for me that I'm like, this is how I think I see you and the world sees you. Mm. And oftentimes it's not the one that they're thinking, oh, that's how I see myself. I'm like, no, this is the essence of you right there. Mm-hmm. And so if I have to satisfy that, or I walk away not always feeling great if I know I haven't hit the mark totally, but it's very much, it's very deep inside my core, those types of feelings.
Yeah. I love that. If you were to give your creativity a quote unquote spirit animal though, and imagine it, what would you give it?
Oh, there's just one answer for me. It's a bird.
Yeah.
My spirit animal is a bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not much of a landscape photographer, but I will tell you the one thing that will pull me off anything during a walk or something outside, it's birds.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, when I think about my spirit animal, my creativity, I just think it's, you know, they fly, whichever, I know they probably have planned routes. I get it. Mm-hmm. They probably don't fly as haphazardly as I think that they do. But I just, you know, when you see birds kind of flying this way and that way and just kind of the open skies and that freedom, it's like, which way does the wind blow today? And that's kind of how I feel about myself and my creativity, that, you know, it's not a set formula day to day, and no two people are alike. So you have to go to shift with those tides and the moods and all of that kind of thing throughout your entire day, and just know you're going into something and you don't know really what you're going into with people. So yeah, definitely a bird. I love to watch them fly through the sky and listen to them in the forest, and they chirp back and forth and have their own rhythms and beats. So yeah, that's definitely my creative spirit animal for sure.
That's great. I'm sure you have a couple, but what's one of your favorite things to shoot?
So I would think probably is a one-on-one portrait.
Yeah.
So I just, again, I find the experience really intimate and challenging, because I think that I see and feel people pretty deeply, and it's just really important for me to create something for somebody that feels as deep as I feel it on the inside of myself. Because I do believe that every person has a lot that, I always say, people are not as simple as they look on the outside. People just run deep. They just do. And so I think that's probably my favorite session, no matter who the person is. They could be fresh out of college, or they could be running an entire corporation. Mm-hmm. They all have a story. They're all at different places in their life. And I think that creating that picture for them that kind of represents that time and headspace they're in their life that they can look back on, because that's the thing. Time goes by, we age, and we all have the ability to kind of look back. And I think that it's creating that photo that someone looks back on and thinks, yeah, that was really me, and just shows the depth of person, which really comes through their eyes. So yeah, I think a one-on-one portrait is what I really enjoy. Like, I really do enjoy all aspects of my photography. I have had the luxury, and I know I have much gratitude for the fact that I can narrow my focus and choose what I would like to work with every day and work on. You know, I don't need to take everything that comes along, nor do I want to. So, you know, I do recognize that that's a place of privilege to be in, that I can say, you know, I just want to work with these things. But I think you come to a point in your career where, you know, I get just said to myself, I want to look at my calendar and look forward to everything that it has to offer for that week. And so I really do measure what I take now on the sense of, I guess, joy that it brings me. And so, and I don't think it does the person booking me any great service if I'm not really feeling that it's something that I want to do. So, you know, I certainly don't feel like that with any of my shoots, but if there are things that come in that I'm just feeling like, no, that's not really where I'm at or what I want to do, then I will happily refer that off to somebody else so that someone else takes it and feels that pure joy for doing the shoot. And that's just what I owe other people to.
In general, in life, what do you love?
People. I really do. I really enjoy the human spirit. It's, you know, humans are simple yet complicated beings. Yeah, I just really enjoy connection and people and knowing their stories. And obviously, I just really love what I do. I love photographing people and being able to communicate those feelings through my photos.
Yeah. Hillary, it has been so good to get to know you. And honestly, I've been a little bit like challenged, and like this conversation kind of took me off guard a little bit. So thank you so much for being so open and honest about everything and made me think about things in a little bit of a different light, or things that I felt but didn't know how to put to words. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate being able to talk to you about these things.
So that was great. Thank you so much.
Yes. You liked it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. I think we were vibing really good. And I'm kind of looking for, like, when we start getting around an hour and it's going good, I'm kind of like, I want to just, we're good and it's not pushing, totally. So
totally agree.
Where we were.
And yeah, you're very good. Your questions are great. Your voice is amazing. Good. But it's just good timing. Like, I think about, had I done this 5 or 6 years ago when I was, seven or 8 years ago, when I was kind of more in that running with a bunch of, you know, kind of the mom photographers and into the trendy photography and all that kind of thing. When I broke away from that, that's really when my true kind of self started to come through, right? When I really started to focus on just a client and not industry.
Yeah.
I think that was really important too, was like, focus on the client, focus on the person in front of you. Like, there's no part of you that needs to be focusing on any other part of your industry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's really why I got to where I am, is I broke free of that. Right. And then just listen to your, and listen to myself. I think that was the big thing. Right. So, so this is a good time for me, because I'm finally not afraid to talk, because this has only been the last 6 or 7 months that I'm like, oh, it's not important what I say or think. I'll just keep these things to myself. And, but then I was like, no, I think it's time to step out.
Oh, that's so interesting.
It's time for people to hear my voice, right?
It seems so natural. Like, for you to say that, I almost don't believe you. I'm not, because you weren't trying. You're just like, it just flowed out of you. So.
Yeah, I just, no, honestly, it's just literally like, if you look at my Instagram page, you'll see when the branding started. So it was vulnerability as confidence.
Yeah.
That was the first of my branding start, which was a week ago.
Oh, wow.
So this is all a part of, like, I've got so much writing coming. I've got so many sayings I've created myself that I'm putting up, and I'll explain like why I tell myself this saying and what is behind it and that kind of thing. So I think it's just really time after 11 years to bring my voice out behind my work. Right. So people understand it's not just snap, snap, snap. It's like, I'm thinking about this thing a lot and I take it home with me and I feel it. You know what I mean? So,
I like that. You said you're a big feeler of feelings or something earlier. And I was like, oh, I know that. My wife will attest to that one.
And you're a big feeler too?
Yes.
Yeah.
A big thinker. And it can be a burden.
Yep.
But also I can't imagine not doing it, you know?
I know.
So it's like, well...
I relate to you on that. And I think it's one of those things that people have labeled maybe in the past as like overthinker or too sensitive, but I've just changed it. I'm not an overthinker. I'm mindful.
Yeah.
I'm a mindful person. I'm mindful of other people's feelings. I'm mindful of my own.
Yeah.
And that's just who I am. So yeah. And it just takes time. Like, it just takes time to grow into these things. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that you finally, you know, for the people that do get there, it's a damn good place to be, because years ago I've been like, what are people going to think when I say this? And now I don't care. I'm like, I think it might free some people from how they think. It might free up someone's voice, right? If they're like, oh, I've thought that or whatever. But yeah, no, I definitely have been said, like, people said to me in the past, like, do you think you're overthinking? I'm like, no, I'm just mindful.
There's a sweet spot for sure, right?
Hang on, let's see if I can get you in here.
The photographer's taking a picture of me.
You got a smile though. That's awesome.
Well, I'm glad we got to connect at this point
me too.
Of our journeys.
Me too. All right, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. You have a great day, okay?
You too. Okay, all right. Bye. See
ya. Bye. Man, Hillary is so great. I appreciated her being so open about her struggles with the word creativity. That is one of the reasons I have such a wide selection of people on this podcast. We are all creative people. It was when Hillary embraced her creativity that this whole new world opened up to her. And I think that's what it's all about, right? Thank you, Hillary, for being on the podcast. I really enjoyed connecting with you. If you are someone or know someone who should be on the podcast, reach out. Big shout out to Jamie Armstrong of Enchanted Entertainment.
She suggested Hillary for the podcast, and I'm so super glad that she did. Music for today's podcast was created by Yo Modi. Big thanks to Josh of Mixed Media Sound for cleaning up these sounds. Just want to say again, happy anniversary to my wonderful wife, Veronica. Thank you for being beside me in all of this, for our four amazing kids, and for 13 years of adventures and marriage. I love you. That's it for today. I'll be back on Saturday. Have a good week, buds. Stay safe.